Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have given us a faith and trust in him. And now, Father, as we reflect on this passage before us, please would you speak to our hearts to build us up, strengthen our faith in the Lord Jesus, and help us to develop a deep thankfulness to you for him. And we ask this in his name. Amen. You know, our church at St. Peter's is pretty much the same as the church at Colossae. The good news about Jesus was brought to us, and when we saw the hope that was stored up in heaven for us, we put our faith in the only one who can bring that hope to fulfillment, Jesus Christ. And now, day by day, as we seek to follow him, our Lord and our Saviour, we're learning to love all the saints, every family member of St. Peter's, without exception. Why? Because he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, where everyone pleases themselves, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so here we are, living as citizens of the kingdom of the Son God loves. This week, citizens of the Russian Federation are voting on whether to allow Vladimir Putin to extend his rule for another 3 or even 6 years, and some say he's vying to take control for the rest of his life. Our Lord, our ruler, Christ Jesus, does not need some kind of fake mandate from an oppressed and manipulated people. We can't vote him in and we can't vote him out, not even if we wanted to. Because he is supreme over all things. Like it or not, he owns everything. He owns the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, Britain, the Queen, the Church, you and me. He created it all, and he sustains it all. And that is true because the fullness of God, all the fullness of God, dwells in him. But there was, of course, a time when you did not want him to rule over your life. You were alienated from him. You were his enemy. But now, in his Son Jesus Christ, God has done everything needed to make peace and reconcile you to himself. So now, you're ready to be presented to God, holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So not only is Jesus supreme over all, but he is sufficient for all. God has shown us this in the gospel, hasn't he? The awesome news, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christianity isn't about helping people to be nicer or better people. No, it's far, far more than that. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if all of that is true, if we are at peace with Almighty God, if we stand before him holy, unblemished and innocent, if Christ himself is in us and he is our hope of glory, why would any of us even begin to think of leaving Christ and following something or someone else? And yet the truth is, we do. I do. You do. And that's why Paul says in verse 6, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening the faith you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." Why do we need this advice? Well, look, do you remember those days way back when we used to go to a restaurant or a pub for a meal? Do you remember those days? You studied the menu, weighed up all the options, chose your starter and main. The food arrived and it was really very, very good. It was delicious. And yet, did you not look across at what others had and wonder if theirs might be better? And here we are, enjoying the most sumptuous banquet in the presence of His Majesty King Jesus. He has filled our cups to overflowing with the most exquisite wine. He set before us a 50-star Michelin meal. And we're wondering if, perhaps, there might be something better on offer out there. You see, this is why I asked you in my email last week to ask yourself whether you considered your life to be full or lacking something. Because even when we live day by day in Christ, Christ in us, with the hope of glorious perfection, yet there are times when we all imagine that there might be a better, a more enjoyable, a more satisfying life than life in Christ. Why is that? Well, it's because our sinful desires lurk beneath the surface, and they are insatiable. They're open to deception and manipulation by outside forces as well. And it all starts when we want something that God's word says isn't good for us, or when we want something that is good, but we want it too much. We know it's wrong. We know we've been consumed by this one desire. We can't stop thinking about it. And then we're all too easily persuaded that what we want is okay. After all, doesn't God want me to be happy? And so we plot how we can have it. We search the internet for ways to make it possible. We imagine, we dream of what life would be like if we had this thing. But hear the warning of verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Now, sadly, we don't have time to look at this in detail, but the basic principle of the world that captivates us is do what makes you happy. Be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. Life's short. Live it. But we only have to pause for a second to see how shallow and deceptive all that is. It's shallow because everything we do affects many other people. It affects society and community. And it's shallow because, while life may be short, what evidence is there that death is the end? There's none whatsoever. It's shallow because we see the consequences of this kind of approach to life all around us. Disappointment, discontentment, abandoned and abused children, the loneliness epidemic, mental health problems skyrocketing, institutional racism, and so on and on and on. And yet, the world's philosophies, their ideas about how to live well, are deceptive. They deceive us. They deceive us away from the true life that is found in Christ. For, verse 9, in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Now, dwell on that for a moment. Just let that sink in. Christ possesses all the godness of God, power and authority, love and mercy, eternal existence, wisdom and knowledge, glory and majesty. He lacks nothing. He is complete, full, perfect. He lives in perfect joy and satisfaction. All the fullness of the deity lives in Christ, and you have been given fullness in Christ. So what more could you possibly have than Christ has given you? What's lacking in him and in what he has given you? And yet we're tempted, aren't we? Our desires cry out to us, feed me, satisfy me, give me more. So, how do we develop our contentment in Christ? How do we accept his fullness and avoid the deception of our desires and the world out there? Well, the answer is that we understand and truly appreciate the sheer magnitude of Christ's work in us. Now, Paul goes on to use an illustration here that sounds very odd to us. But remember, he's writing to people brought up in the Jewish religion, and to them it was very natural. So, verse 11. In Christ, you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. So, to be uncircumcised was to be an alien, a non-Jew, a Gentile, alienated from God. But a Gentile could be circumcised, which would mean leaving behind the old way of life, the old idols, worship and lifestyle, and being welcomed into the people of God, accepted by God himself, taking on all the customs and the obligations set out in the Old Testament. It meant a new citizenship, a citizenship of Israel rather than a Gentile nation. But of course, all of that was Old Testament stuff. It was pointing forward to Jesus. And in Jesus, acceptance by God, a welcome into his family, and taking on his way of life comes through faith, through trust in Jesus Christ. So as we come to Jesus in faith, he, as it were, circumcises the desires of our hearts. He takes away the old and gives us a new start, whether we're men or women. Or put it another way, once we were dead in our sins, we were headed for the just penalty of eternal death. But when we believed in Jesus, it was just as if we'd died with him and then been raised again to a new life. Our old way of life was dead and buried. Now, by the very same power that God raised Jesus from the dead and brought him out of the tomb, that same power enables us to live a new life. So we were forgiven all our past sins. They were removed onto Jesus' body on the cross. And so was the legal punishment set out for us in God's law. All of that was taken away and nailed to the cross. And so, God could give you all the fullness of Christ, his sonship, his life, his joy, his satisfaction. In him, you are full, perfect, complete. You lack nothing. But are you full grown yet? No, not yet. In fact, some of us are just small oak seedlings. Our first true leaves are just emerging. Some of us are oak saplings, growing fast despite difficult conditions, perhaps. Some of us are mature oak trees branching out in fruitfulness. But here's the thing. Whatever stage we're at, we are all completely, fully, totally oak. That's our DNA. We're not partly oak, we're fully oak. And so in Christ, we have the fullness of our humanity. And now, verse 6, we need to draw our nourishment from him, to be rooted in Christ, to grow in him, to be strengthened in the faith taught in Scripture, so that we grow up being mature, healthy, fruitful trees. So when our desires stamp their feet and demand that we follow them, when society jumps up and down and demands that we follow the latest fad, we will remember the gospel that gave us new birth and new life. The gospel we were taught. And we will renew our thankfulness to God in Christ. That's how we'll remain rooted, always being thankful to God in Christ. And that's how we'll grow into mature and fruitful Christians, undisturbed by the hollow and deceptive basic principles of the world. And all of this to the glory of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us new life in Christ. We thank you that we're not good Christians or bad Christians, we're just Christians. We are in Christ by faith. And we are full in him. In him is all we need. Heavenly Father, help us to understand that we need to be rooted and draw our sustenance from Christ, growing up in him. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Increase our thankfulness so that day by day we might be grateful to you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.